My family was driving back home after the baptism of their baby. The father looked in the back seat and saw his 5-year-old son crying. He said, "Why are you crying, son?" The boy said, "During the baptism, I heard the priest say that he wanted us children raised in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Today is the feast day of the Holy Family. Today, the church gives us this passage of the finding of Jesus in the temple. As you know, there's different cycles of reading. Sometimes we hear about the presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple at 40 days of age. But today we have the reading of the finding of Jesus in the temple when he was 12 years of age. And this is a very powerful passage for us to meditate upon. It's our fifth joyful mystery. So when we pray the rosary, we meditate upon the finding of Jesus in the temple. And this is written by St. Luke. And the tradition is that St. Luke had spent time with our Blessed Mother, talking to her, interviewing her. That's why we find out about the Annunciation, the Visitation, the finding in the temple. All these things Our Lady knew about and shared with St. Luke. And so in today's Gospel, we see that the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, went every year to the Jewish Passover feast. They were devout Jews. They were in the habit of going faithfully to their religious worship, as all of you are, going to Mass faithfully every Sunday. What a great example, the Holy Family. And they were about 90 to 100 miles away. They're way up in Nazareth, had to go down to Jerusalem, and normally it was done 3 times a year, but this was the most important feast day of the year, which was the Feast of Passover. And when pilgrims would come to the Passover feast, Josephus, the historian, says that the population of Jerusalem would swell to over 1 million people, about 1 million pilgrims. So imagine losing a 12-year-old in Tokyo or Shanghai or Los Angeles or New York City. Imagine the anxiety and worry that did fill the heart of Joseph and Mary. Now it says Jesus was 12 years old. According to first century Judaism, he would be on the brink of manhood. He'd be entering into manhood at this time. And so people would travel in large caravans. Hundreds of people would travel together because of safety from robbers. And they would travel to Jerusalem, stay there for a week or more, and then they would leave. And you could say, well, how could they leave Jesus behind? Well, the Lord deliberately knew that there was an opportunity. According to some of the scholars, the men would exit through one city gate in Jerusalem. As you know, it was a walled city. The women would exit through another, a different city gate. And the Lord said, now's my chance. Because he knew that the men would go one way, the women would go the other. But a young 12-year-old could go with either the father or the mother. And of course, each thought that the other parent had a Jesus with him or her. So then they all travel and hundreds of people together in these caravans heading north up, back up to Nazareth. And of course, there were also tens of thousands of pilgrims leaving Jerusalem at the same time. And typically, in caravans, the women and young children would walk together in the front so the women could talk to each other. I guess that's never happened since then, right? So maybe human nature hasn't changed. Women might like to talk to each other. And then all the men would sort of walk in a group behind them. And of course, the teenagers would go back and forth and hang out with their friends and run ahead. And they would all meet up at night when they pitched camp. When they would pitch camp each night, then all the families would gather individually into their own tents, and that's when they could not find their son. And so they checked with all their relatives, have you seen him? People said, well, I haven't seen him since Jerusalem. And so that was the end of the first day, and now they have to journey back another full day, another 10, 15 miles walking. That's the second day. And on the third day, of course, they would go right to the Temple of Jerusalem. That would be their first stop. And there was their 12-year-old son sitting among the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, having theological discussions. Because that's what they were doing. When the rabbis would come for the Passover feast, they would gather. They would talk about when would the Messiah be coming. And there he was sitting in the midst of them. It even says that they were so astounded by the Lord's understanding, his wisdom, the answers he was given to them. Well, then, of course, Joseph and Mary show up. But notice it's not Joseph who speaks, because he was not his father. He was his foster father. It was Mary who spoke publicly. This was unheard of, especially speaking to the rabbis and the chief priests and the theologians. But Mary spoke up and said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." But the Lord's response is very interesting. He says, basically, in the original language, "Did you not know I must be?" Some says translation is, "in my father's house." Other translations are, "about my father's business." In other words, "I have begun my ministry, the ministry that my heavenly father sent me to begin. Did you not know I must begin my public ministry and be about my father's business?" So obviously Jesus at 12 years old knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God, that he had come to save us and redeem the world. But then the scriptures say something very interesting. It says Jesus came back with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And so apparently it was not yet the Lord's time to begin his public ministry. His blessed mother, apparently, however she indicated it, said, "No, let's go back to Nazareth." And for the next 18 years, he worked in Nazareth as a carpenter with St. Joseph, until St. Joseph died, sometime when Jesus probably was a little bit older, teenager perhaps, or a young adult. And it says, for the next 18 years, we never hear of anything until the wedding feast of Cana. And this is when Jesus is now 30, 18 years later. As scripture says, Mary was invited to the wedding. Jesus and his disciples were also at the wedding. And as I mentioned in the past, Bishop Sheen says, notice what the Bible says. The apostles showed up, the wine ran out. See the connection. Our blessed mother felt very bad about it, and so she goes to Jesus and says, "They have no more wine." In other words, do something about it. And Jesus says, "What is this to me and to thee? My hour has not yet come." So even now, Jesus was waiting for Our Lady's permission to begin his public ministry. That's how obedient he was. "My hour has not yet come." Well, obviously, the Blessed Mother said, "No, your hour has come." And she goes to the head waiter and says, "Do whatever he tells you." So she sends the head waiter to Jesus, and Jesus changes the water into wine and keeps the wedding feast going. What a wonderful thing it was. The abundance of the wine to celebrate the wedding feast of this young couple. Notice Jesus was 30 years old. That's why theologians say Jesus must have been Irish. He was single, 30, and living with his mother. So Jesus begins his first miracle, begins his public ministry, which would eventually lead to his passion, death, and resurrection 3 years later. But notice how obedient he was, waiting for our Blessed Mother to say, "Now is the time." So what can we relate to our own families from this episode in the life of the Holy Family? Because sometimes people have said, "Father," one lady even told me that years ago, she says, "Father, I really have a tough time relating to the Holy Family. After all, the mother was the Immaculate Conception, the child was God, and the father was a saint." And she said, "That's so much different from my family." But I said, "No, even though that's true, but notice what the Holy Family went through. They had their struggles, they had their hardships, their difficulties. We know that they struggled financially. They were a poor family. At the presentation, they could not offer a lamb. They had to offer two pigeons or two turtle doves, which was the offering of the poor. They could not even afford a lamb at the presentation when Jesus was 40 days of age. They offered the gift of the poor. So they struggled financially, and then they had to leave their home in Nazareth to go down to Bethlehem for the census. They thought they were going to be gone for a couple weeks. But then Mary gave birth in Bethlehem. Then they found out that King Herod is trying to kill their child. So they can't go back to Nazareth. They have to go to Egypt. And they're gone for 5 years. They become refugees in a foreign land. And they're struggling. Joseph has to find work in Egypt as a carpenter. So they had their struggles. They could not go back to their home maybe till 5 to 7 years later when they were eventually able to return to Nazareth. And then plus they had King Herod trying to kill their child. They had to wait till Herod died before they could go back. And then you had the death of Saint Joseph, who the tradition is that he died sometime between the time Christ was 12 and 30. So Jesus was a young man when he lost his foster father. But Joseph is called the patron saint of a happy death because he died in the arms of Jesus and Mary. So what we can learn, I think, from the Holy Family is their faithfulness to religious customs and worship, the honor they gave to each other, the peace, love, and joy that would have been in their home, and the spirit of obedience that we see our Lord in today's gospel. At the end of Mass, we'll say this little prayer. Most merciful Father, help us to imitate the example of the Holy Family, so that after the trials of this world, we may share their company forever. We ask this through Christ our Lord.